I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
The Nightside Project.
You know what you are?
What?
You're difficult. Really difficult.
You.
Really difficult, man.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition spring season.
This is why I could never be a teacher. This is hard stuff.
Yeah, that and you barely graduated college.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard, and I've got Andy Farnsworth again with me tonight. Andy, welcome.
Thank you.
You did a good job tonight. Last night, you earned another shot. You earned a second chance.
I'm on a day-to-day contract, it sounds like.
You earned a second strike, is what this
another
is.
Chance to take a whiff.
So, you know. Hey, we got a lot planned for you tonight, including Dr. Matt Woolley coming on here at about 6:35 tonight to answer a few pressing mental health questions. You're getting a little bit of free therapy, a little bit of free professional mental health treatment, courtesy of the Nightside Project. So we're looking forward to that. In the meantime, though, just this afternoon was a new development in this just crazy saga of this country music concert that's been trying to find a home. What's this guy's name?
Colin Ray.
Colin Ray.
Come on, man.
So, Jason Manning. Wait,
who wouldn't want to hear this?
Jason Manning, the owner of the Amphitheater Studio Ranch, had agreed to host this upcoming Colin Ray concert. That was this. It was a political event. It was designed to
celebrate freedom.
It was designed to cast aspersions on people who are concerned about the coronavirus.
Celebrate freedom.
And it was, and it became really super political. And anyway, so they got kicked out of, what was it, Centerville
Kaysville.
First? Kaysville
so
first.
So Kaysville had said they would host it, and then the city council did not like that.
The mayor said that because she's running for Congress. And so, you know, she's trying to kind of appease to, so there's a the Republican Party's kind of having a trouble, a little bit of a problem. Candidates are drifting closer to varying degrees to President Trump, and they're kind of having a little bit of an identity crisis because some, like the candidate in Kaysville, you know, the county mayor, she's really kind of going that hardcore Trump base route. But this is, I don't know if she's going to be successful with it or if it's going to backfire on her, but because the country music concert got kicked out of Kaysville and then it found a home at a business near Tooele that's an amphitheater. But now today, the Tooele County Health Department actually issued an order to the owner of the Amphitheater Studio Ranch saying, no, man, you guys cannot do this. It's an official notice of closure regarding the proposed concert. It was scheduled for
this Saturday,
3 days from now.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to be able to do it. I can't imagine that Colin Ray is going to show up in Utah 3 days away from a concert that has been shut down in two locations in two counties and doesn't have anything.
You don't think Colin Ray would?
I don't think he's going to show up. I actually was surprised.
Now and then, until I see you again,
oh, that's Colin Ray?
Yep.
I know this song.
Love me.
Anyway,
so that's what Colin Ray has to say to everybody. Until now and then, till I see you again, he'll be loving the fans here in Utah, but
yeah,
he won't be playing in front of them.
No, have we heard from Colin Ray? Has Colin Ray said he's not coming? I'm surprised he stuck with him this far.
Well, I mean, he's not going to fill up the Energy Solutions Arena, the Vivint Arena, whatever it is now.
But he's not going to fill up anywhere. I mean, where could he possibly go to have this concert?
No, but I just mean, like, what else does he got to do?
You think he's still going to show up?
No, I don't know. Well, I don't think at this point, with 3 days to go till a concert that has no venue.
Not only that, but it's been shut down in two different counties. You think he's going to show up at Salt Lake International and go, well, who's got a big backyard?
Have you been up the hill? When I used to fly over him in the traffic plane, there's some pretty big yards.
I know there are some big yards. I'm not saying he could, you know, I'm not saying.
Well, so where should they hold it then? Where in the state of Utah could you hold a concert with 3 days' notice. What do you think about maybe the West Desert? Maybe the Tree of Utah?
Here's a text that came in. It said 57500. It says, be honest, Ethan. This was a political concert to give Katie Witt exposure for her campaign.
And it
worked. She got it. If that was her intent, boy, she got it. And you know what? If she's trying to kind of go the hardcore Trump base route, this all actually may end up working in her favor. You know what
you know
I mean?
Where they could hold this concert, Ethan?
Where?
At the pool in the Ozarks. That's got a ton of people already all together.
Yeah, a little
they're
far,
probably primed.
A little far for a Utah congressional campaign to
well,
travel.
Well, at that point, for sure. But, I mean, that part's done. Whether the concert happened or not.
They could go further west than Tooele. We got a lot of public land out there that the state has a real hard time patrolling.
That's what I'm saying. The Tree of Utah, that big giant metal monstrosity near I-80.
Mm.
Have it out in the West Desert on the salt flats. I mean, that'd be some incredible visuals from drones.
Yeah, I guess so. Here's the thing, though. So I've been out to the Tree of Utah. It's cool. You know, it's very nice. I love the public art thing. I love the whole, you know, big stuff out there. They've got the Spiral Jetty. I like going to see the Spiral Jetty.
Spiral Jetty is not out on the salt flats.
It's on the north end of the lake.
Yes.
But it's a big giant public art installation.
Okay, that's true. That's true. I was like, that's nowhere near I-80.
So there's some cool stuff out there. I don't know that there's a ton of room out there, because if I'm remembering correctly, there's actually a fence around the Tree of Utah. Also, you'd be right up against the highway. So you can have trucks.
Well, that's easy access. Here's the problem. What do you got to do for, like, public facilities? Because you can't have a concert without, you know, some bathrooms. At an amphitheater,
hey, look, man, this is America. This is the land of the free. We don't provide bathrooms.
Yeah, well,
figure it out yourself, man.
You could call it Salty Man and have it out on the salt flats.
So we got this text. I want to say, is this Brandon? I think it's Brandon texting. And he says, why can we have Lagoon open but not a concert with 2,000 people? And I think I know the answer to that. It's just proximity. So Lagoon's got a plan to have, you know,
to keep people apart.
People plus the mask. Everyone required a mask. And then also they've got a plan for keeping people apart, like in the lines and things like that. You know, they put the dots down
right. In
the supermarket. They're doing the same thing at Lagoon. So they got a plan for that. It seems like this concert was just 2,000 people that were going to get in and just all stand together and take very few, if any, precautions. I mean, I never saw anything that seemed like concrete, precautions in terms of health and safety. But
that's because it's been shuffled. I mean, it's hard to put that kind of a plan into place with not knowing where it's going to be held. I'm just trying to see if there was anything else. Now, the whole thing is that the reason that the Tooele County can do this is by virtue of the governor's order, the Utah Leads Together Plan 2.0, which bans mass gatherings, and then under the Tooele County statutes, anything that poses an imminent health hazard at this stage can give them the chance to give an official notice of closure. So it's not like the police are barricading it, but they're just saying, look, you can't do this. If you do, you could face criminal prosecution.
Well, I mean, I think this event's dead, right? They've been kicked out of two counties in 2 weeks.
Do you think they try and do it anyway, despite the order?
I don't know. I guess that, you know what? That depends on Colin Ray. I mean, you can get a couple hundred people out to any political activity on any given day, right?
I think a couple hundred people, sure.
You know, they could certainly hold some rally and declare victory.
Was 2,000 the cap for the concert?
I don't know. But all I'm saying is I feel like Colin Ray, because, you know, Colin Ray issued a statement that, you know, he was really surprised that this got so political. So I think he's a little bit wary. I think he knows what it's about, right? Because he's not dumb. But I think he is a little wary about taking it too far. So I'd honestly be really surprised.
So you think that Colin Ray will look at this and say, I don't really want to get involved with this?
I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, but you're not Colin Ray, Ethan.
Yeah, well,
you don't sing Love Me.
You know, that...
You don't have a version of Open Arms.
That... that statement, that you, hey, I actually do have a version of Open Arms.
Oh, I got to hear that. I have got to hear. Are you a sing talker or are you a sing singer?
Otherwise, your statement that I'm not Colin Ray is 100% factual. So you're right about that. You're right about that.
But, he, right. I mean, he has a national following. My wife has several of his albums. I like his music.
Here's a question. So regarding the bathrooms situation, it says, hey, quick questions. Do you think they had bathrooms at Woodstock? And I don't know. I know they had mud.
Makes you wonder where the mud came from.
I doubt they had enough bathrooms. I don't know if they literally had none. So this is, I think, related to another text that says they can have the concert out in the lake bed by Saltaire. And you know what? I guess they could do that. They could set up kind of a Utah, you know, Republican Party Burning Man kind of situation, you know, where you show up for a political event, but it's kind of hosted in that ad hoc style of building a temporary location out in the middle of the desert where people can come and be a part of something
and
then leave.
That goes to the question of where does county restrictions end and what's a spot that's just public land that doesn't have specific oversight for something like that?
Well, I don't know.
Because Tooele County can say, hey, this is within our jurisdiction. This is within our city limits. We don't want to take this risk. Mm-hmm. We have a texture that says, I think this is just a slippery slope. If anything can be shut down because it poses a health risk, gives too much power to city councils.
They said city councils.
I was going to say.
You didn't want to read that.
Had a modifier on that.
You didn't want to read the I word, Andy. But and I get that. I get that. And I'm sympathetic to that conceptually. But we do, though. We do shut places down that are manifestly unhealthy and or pose some kind of risk, right?
Right.
Have you ever had your favorite restaurant shut down because it posed a health risk?
No, because I frequent clean restaurants.
It happens.
Thank you.
And it's so I think we're just the rules are slightly different now because of the coronavirus business. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that we're in danger of kind of taking this too far. I put that in air quotes, too far, because when the coronavirus stuff goes away, you know, a lot of these other things like the masks and the concern over mass gatherings, that'll go away, too. I don't think any of us have an appetite to, you know, embrace this social distancing as a permanent part of America.
Right. I certainly personally don't.
No. All right. Well, what do you think about that? 57500. Drop us a text. Do you think there's still the opportunity for this concert to come back one more time, a third time from the dead?
And could it happen on this Saturday, May 30th, as it was originally scheduled? Will Colin Ray show up at Salt Lake International Airport, look around, and get right back on a flight out?
or would you let him come play in your backyard?
I would let him come play in my backyard 100% if it's just for my family.
Just for your, well, see, this is the thing. You got to invite the District 1 Republican Party in. That's what you got to.
I have a pretty big family, though. I don't know if that would violate any health codes just by my family alone.
I think it depends on how many voters there are.
All right, Nightside Project, going to combat some misinformation when we come back from the break. You're listening to Nightside Project Special Spring Edition.
Stay up to date on the coronavirus by listening to Utah's Coronavirus Call-In weekdays at 12:20 on KSL News Radio. In partnership with the Governor's Office, Jeff Kaplan interviews medical professionals and experts and top Utah officials who answer your pressing questions. Utah's Coronavirus Call-In. Nightside, you've had a long day. So have we. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. This is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Andy Farnsworth. Alex Curie's out this evening. Andy back in the hot seat. Always a fun time. You know, this week we saw Twitter start to take some steps against what they characterize as misinformation and started flagging some very important Twitter postings from very important people with fact checks. And that's caused quite an uproar. So we wanted here on the Nightside Project to take some of the most pressing misinformation issues and apply our own fact check to them. So, Andy, are you ready to do this? Let's take some of the most critical and most relevant items of misinformation, and let's just run them down.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, we got to start with the biggest one that's mm-hmm. probably out there right now.
Okay.
And that is, it takes your body 7 years to digest gum. Ethan,
To you, that a lot
is
of people
not
this.
True.
I believed this for a long time. I did. I did.
Oh, I did too. You eat the gum and it stays in your gut probably because it's sticky, and that if you died and they had to do an autopsy, they would find all the gum that you had chewed over the past 7 years.
Yeah.
Now, what they never bothered to try to explain to me was, so after 7 years, it just suddenly disappears? Does it? Do you then pass the gum at the seven-year mark on the day of?
It vaporizes. Yeah. It just vaporizes in your gut.
Or 7 years later, you're like, oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I chewed that Hubba Bubba 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ethan, you know, we did forget to do something during that last break that
what
we need to take care of really quick right now.
Oh.
And as to me as a traffic reporter, this is highly important.
I hand the reins to you, Andy.
All right. Well, let's just do a quick check of traffic with Len Thomas in the KSL Traffic Center, brought to you by Mountain America's Visa Bonus on groceries and dining.
Well, this is fun. Thank you, Andy. The freeways have cleaned up nicely as the afternoon evolves. I-15 showing good speeds through Utah, Salt Lake, and Davis County. The I-215 belt route's in fine shape in Utah County. Watch out in Provo Canyon, though. It's very slow with construction 800 North and Orem to Canyon View Park. At University of Utah Health, they take care of Utah like Utah takes care of each other. There's only one you. Be treated that way. Learn more at uofuhealth.org. Len Thomas in the KSL Traffic Center.
Thank you, Len. All right. Here's something interesting about gum from one of our texters. There's still gum at Lagoon from 1950. So maybe it does stay in your gut that long.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
If it can survive the hot summers of Utah for all that time.
All right. So we're debunking some of the most current, most relevant bits of misinformation inspired by Twitter this week. All right, Andy, what's next?
How about this one? Have you heard about people who actually sleep with pantyhose over their head because they've heard...
So they can be ready for a bank robbery just in a moment's notice?
You're having
all right,
a
boys,
dream.
Let's go.
You want to be ready for in your dream if you're robbing a bank, you'll be dressed properly. No, actually, people do that because they're afraid of swallowing one of the 8 spiders that you supposedly swallow in your sleep each year.
I used to believe this one, too. Oh, man.
This one my daughters are still scared about.
I went through a real credulous period in my life. I'll just say that.
Where you believed everything?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you showed it to me. I was like, yeah, good, man. Where do I sign up? Is there a subscription? Is there a membership? So tell me more about this pantyhose on the head, because that is a twist that I had not heard of
before. Well, obviously, you can't you have to be able to breathe. And as everybody knows, having worn the masks now, it can be difficult to breathe with the mask on. I mean, not impossible, but not easy. It's certainly
plus
not the kind when you're trying to sleep and have relaxed breathing.
Plus, with the masks, spiders could still get in through the gaps, right?
Yeah, because they're committed to
nose.
Getting into your belly.
Yeah, man.
So, at any rate, the person puts the pantyhose on the head because you can breathe through it just fine.
No one ever did this. Was it you? Did you do this?
No.
Are you describing something that you used to do and you're like, oh, man, I've heard people did this.
I did it just for the bank robbing thing. That's why. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
How about this one?
Uh-huh.
Let's say somebody goes missing. The cops will not do anything until 24 hours. And you can't submit a missing persons report until 24 hours later.
So I've heard this, thanks to TV.
Yes.
I'm familiar with this.
And that is the truth. It is only because of TV. That is not true. The police, they're not like, well, it's been 22 hours, so give it a couple more, and then we'll start to get the search parties together.
Well, I guess this we in Utah should know this is false, because just last week we had an Amber Alert issued within just a couple of hours of a child abduction.
Right.
And the child was found thanks to the Amber Alert. The whole thing was wrapped up. And we had the abduction, police notified, Amber Alert issue, child recovered in just a short window of several hours, I feel like.
Well,
and so,
you know,
so there you go.
It's a total TV thing, but there's a lot of people who believe that because they've seen it in so many TV episodes. Now, here's one I don't know if you'd heard before, but I'd heard this. If you drop a penny off the Empire State Building, it could kill you.
It's like shooting a rifle down there.
Right.
I've
because the penny just picks up so much momentum over that great distance. You throw it off a mountain, it wouldn't work because the mountain slopes outward and you couldn't throw it. But an Empire State Building drops straight down.
Go right through your body.
That's exactly what people believe. That is not true. And this is one where if you had paid attention in your high school physics class, force equals mass times acceleration.
Yeah.
Well, there's just not enough mass in a penny. It reaches a terminal velocity that it cannot exceed. If you shot a gun with a penny out of it, yeah, that could do some damage. But just dropping it and letting gravity take its toll on a penny, according to scientists, it would be just like being flicked in the forehead if it hit you.
Really?
Yep.
Because
but it's easy to believe. Terminal velocity ends.
Whether it falls on you from 50 feet or 500 feet.
Once it reaches terminal velocity, it's exactly the same.
All right. Okay.
Plus, the wind is probably going to blow it off into the Hudson anyway. So, you know.
This is a really great segment. If you just tuned in, we are debunking some of the most relevant disinformation campaigns that are in our society. Twitter started doing that this week, what's the word I'm looking for? Fact checks. So we're hitting the most relevant ones. What's next, Andy?
Oh, here's something interesting, though. According to a texter, you can get kicked out of Lagoon for dropping a nickel off of the rocket.
Well, that's because, of course you can't. It's because Lagoon doesn't want you there if you're throwing things off the ride. Are you going to kill someone? No. But I wouldn't tolerate it either. I'd be like, no, man, you're out of here. You can't throw things off the ride.
Another texter says, I had a boss who had a spider in her throat that bit her or exploded or something. It was one of those things.
It probably exploded. Those are spiders. You can't.
And it caused a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
It caused a whole bunch of stuff. This stuff, though, not quite defined. All right, here's something else, Ethan.
Okay.
And I bet you've heard this. You pass away, you need a haircut and a fingernail trim because your hair continues to grow. And your fingernails do, too, after you die.
I actually know about this one.
Okay.
This is one that I know about. It's false. It don't continue to grow. What happens is your body dehydrates, you know, basically releases all of its it starts to dry out. The skin retracts around your scalp, your fingernails, and it shows more of the fingernail, and so you feel like
so
it's
it looks like it
grows.
Very good. Very good. Okay, two food-related ones.
Okay.
You've heard the 5-second rule, right?
Yeah, if it falls on the ground, I don't want to hear this one.
It's safe to eat food that's been on the floor for 5 seconds or less.
If it's 5 seconds or less, you can just snatch it back up and eat it. And I don't want to touch this one. I want to continue to believe it.
Plug your ears for the next 5 seconds.
All right.
While I explain that scientists have found that salmonella can transfer on bologna in less than 5 seconds.
I love that someone did the research on this.
So, the 5-second rule is not scientifically proven, but you may continue to believe it if you so choose. And then here's one that's been a staple since my childhood. Will you get cramps if you swim right after you eat?
So this was a staple of my childhood as well. After you ate, it was everyone on the side of the pool. Everyone just sat and stared at the pool for a half hour or whatever it was.
Because the thing is, like I said, there's so many things in your body that's on a timer that we just never knew. At 55 minutes, you get in that pool, you're going right under the water.
Yeah.
But at 60 minutes, suddenly your muscles relax and you're able to swim. That is not true. Getting cramps right after swimming. I have a feeling that goes back to the age-old days when, people go to swimming holes instead of swimming pools, and you get into cold water or something.
I don't think so. I think we got that the same way we get all those old wives' tales, and it was just experiential, and people just construed the wrong. They just inferred the wrong lesson.
I think that's all. That they got that because they tried to swim at Lagoon in the old pool before they did Laguna Beach, right after they ate lunch, and that was like 20 degree water, so all your muscles cramped up.
And you died.
All right, we'll take a break here at bottom of the hour. When we come back on the Nightside Project, Dr. Matt Woolley will answer your questions during this coronavirus pandemic.
Nightside.
This is the Nightside Project. As long as I'm with you guys, I'm always in the fake good place.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition spring season.
It's weird, though, doing the show while we're miles apart.
That's actually my favorite part. I cannot social distance myself from you enough.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right. right, welcome back to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard, and I've got Andy Farnsworth here with me. Alex Keery's off for the evening. This next segment is one that we've come to look forward to every week. We hope it's valuable for you as well. Each week, we ask you for your mental health-related questions, and we pose them to Dr. Matt Woolley. Dr. Matt Woolley is a clinical psychiatrist and a host of the Project Recovery podcast with Casey Scott. That's something that we're proud to have here on the KSL Radio app. And Dr. Matt, have we got you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and I'm a psychologist.
Oh, psychologist.
But that's okay.
Would it surprise you to know that I wouldn't be able to effectively explain the difference between the two, and probably 90% of people really wouldn't be able
to?
It's prescribing drugs.
Oh, now I know.
A psychiatrist is a medical doctor who prescribes medications, and a psychologist is a behavioral doctor who does behaviors and the such.
Well, you're perfect for this show. It's been going awesome. We've got a couple of submissions via email, and then I want to say, Andy, do we have a voicemail submission as well?
I thought we had one. I do.
Okay. All right. Well, then, Andy, why don't you tee up the first question here?
All right. First question is from Jill, Dr. Matt, and this is one that I can actually empathize with. How do I allow my little 10-year-old girl to play with her friends safely? She hasn't really seen them since school, so what are some good activities that they can do together but not be too close?
Okay, yeah, that's a great question. I mean, as far as activities go, a lot of families are taking, you know, their kids out to do things like riding bikes, scooters, going for hikes and walks, things where they can be active but are naturally several to 6 feet apart. And you might, you know, depending on the ages of your kids, you're going to have to remind them and prep them and re-prep them. Yeah. The other thing, though, is think in terms of your social circle. That's kind of a big thing right now where people are saying, okay, well, we're not just going to hang out with every single kid that we know. Let's pick a couple that and parents can talk to the other parents and say, let's limit our circle of friendship interactions so that we know that when we're going out for a bike ride that we're with the same people each time. Yeah. And that should cut down to some degree on our exposure as well.
I think bike rides are the perfect activity right now for kids. Because
think for kids, anything with wheels is always great, you know, wear a helmet, whatnot. But
yeah,
skateboarding, scooters, bikes, I'm a big believer in those are a lot of fun and they're great exercise. And so that's where I would start.
Well, and I feel like that exercise too, there's going to be a residual impact on kids, especially some kids they've had a lot of anxiety and sadness through this whole thing. I feel like getting them out on those bikes, exercising, that's got to be helpful for their mental health as well.
Absolutely. Too many people have been too cooped up, especially children and adolescents. And now that the weather's turning, we're going to hit some great degrees with sunny skies this weekend. I would say don't be afraid to get outside, but, you know, keep your distance.
Yeah.
What about parents, Dr. Matt? And this is one that I kind of personally, for parents who might be more skittish about wanting to let their kids play with other kids, how do they explain that to their children without coming across like, I don't want you playing with those? Because one thing I've learned with children, and I have six of them, is that what you say and the way they interpret it don't always match. And
yeah,
if you say, sure, I don't feel comfortable with you playing with your friends right now, what that becomes when they tell their friends is, my parents don't want me to play with you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
How can you explain to your kids, if you're a parent who's not necessarily really comfortable with the kids playing with other kids in the neighborhood yet, how do they explain that to a child?
Well, part of that's understanding your child's cognitive ability at their age. So under puberty, kids are more concrete, meaning you have to spell things out for them. You cannot assume they know the context of what you're talking about. If you're saying that very same thing to a 16-year-old, they understand the context of why you may not want them hanging out with other kids, and you may not have to explain all the details because they get the whole quarantine exposure issue. But a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, they have to have it spelled out. And you just talk in terms of exposure and that we love, you know, you may have to go to some extra lengths to say, we sure love your friend Jimmy, but, you know, we're worried about exposure. We want to keep Jimmy safe. So you can talk about, we're doing it for Jimmy's sake as well as your sake. And you just really have to be very specific.
We've got another question here. This one's from Mark. How do I get over the nervous feeling about being outside in public?
Go outside in public more. I mean, exposure therapy. Honestly,
how do you do that?
Well, first of all, have tools. So a lot of times anxiety has to do with feeling. So the number one, let's say this, the number one behavior of anxiety is avoidance. Any type of time you're stressed, anxious, fearful, you're going to want to avoid. The problem is that sort of works. At first, you feel a little relief. But over time, it teaches your brain a lie, which is that that thing is really dangerous and more dangerous than it is in reality. So now we've had 2 months plus of being told that we can't go outside and we're going to not be safe. And so it's going to be this re-exposing ourselves to life, but we don't want to do that without tools. So look into it. Find out, what can I do to reasonably keep myself safe? And then little by little, go out, do a few things, go for walks, do things that are not indoors, be outside, go to the park, walk around, wear a mask, wear gloves, have some sanitizer, realize, hey, I can get myself out there and I'm just fine. And over time, by doing a little bit each day, he should start to feel better, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, that's good advice. And, you know, at a certain point, boy, we've had so many emotions wrapped up in this coronavirus pandemic. So many questions, continued questions. It's not a surprise to me that even people who've never experienced these kinds of things before are now having to deal with them, and they must feel really flat-footed about it. I imagine that's what you're seeing.
Oh, for sure. I mean, most of the time when we have problems, the way the human brain solves it is it finds something similar in our past, and then we work with that information. And right now, nobody's really dealt with this in 100 years, on this level at least. And so we have a lot of people that are overreacting. We have a lot of people that are underreacting. The key is to ground yourself in the reality that you're going to be okay, but you want to know the best information out there. I usually, just if there's only one place you go to the CDC website, read their recommendations, and then figure out how to apply that in your life.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a brand new skill set for all of us.
Yeah, it is for sure.
The other day, we've been doing this for how long? 8-9 weeks.
Uh-huh.
The other day I was talking
forever
to my friend. I'm like, hey, let's go to lunch tomorrow. I don't know, like, that's just ingrained in all of us. Like, I'm going to go to lunch somewhere. I mean, I guess you technically can now, but yeah. And then we both laughed because we realized what I said. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, gotta do
we
it,
have
yeah.
to build some new skills here.
I've got one here. Oh, sorry, Andy. I just wanted to kind of tee this question up in a very specific way, because I feel like this next question could have a broad application for anyone who exists in kind of a mixed family politically, let's say. This person was concerned because they're taking the virus very seriously, doing the masks and everything, but they've got members of their family who are like, it's all a hoax, and they feel kind of, they feel poorly treated in their family because of this disconnect politically. How do you think people should approach this?
Well, first of all, I guess my comment on that is, isn't it a shame that this is a political issue? In and of itself is not a political issue, and except for the politicians who turned it into that. That being said, you need to keep your own boundaries and do what you feel is healthy and right for you. That's number one. Number two is, don't argue the facts with your family member. That obviously isn't working for them, and so I wouldn't go there. But here's a thought that most people haven't had, because this is such a common issue. Be empathetic, because that person in your family is probably acting the way they are out of fear. They've globbed on to a different point of view that says, oh, I'm fine, there's nothing, this is all a hoax. That's typically a fear-based response, because deep down inside, they don't know how to handle the craziness of this situation, and so they want to pretend it's not there. It's a sort of a type of denial.
Yeah. Yeah.
So actually, if you can be empathetic with your family member, then you can feel less anger and frustration towards them. And when this is all over, we may still love each other. I don't know.
We may still. You know, this is something that that my wife feels very strongly about. And she's regularly saying, hey, no political cause, no issue, no politician is worth wrecking your close relationships. And that's her firm belief. And that's kind of guided us quite a bit in how we've navigated a family with some pretty that's kind of pretty broadly stretched across the political spectrum. That's kind of worked for us, that perspective, you know.
Well, I'm impressed with that. I do see that sometimes where you have families, husbands and wives, extended family with very, very different political beliefs that they check at the door because they value their relationships more. And I think that's wonderful because the only people that really care about you in life are your family, not the feds back in D.C. So
be
close with your family. Prioritize them over politics.
Yeah, it's hard sometimes, though, because one of the things that families love to do also is, you know, you love to get in there and mix it up a little bit. Those close relationships give you a certain amount of license for, you know, arguing and bickering and things like that.
It's the testing ground. That's what I feel like my kids do when they come home. They're very polite to all their teachers. And then they come home and test out everything they wanted to say to their teachers on their parents.
Yeah. Well, for kids, that's actually pretty good. I'd give them some latitude and sort of don't take the bait on anything. Let them explore. You know, teenagers especially and young college students, this is a time for them to be out there thinking freely and exploring freely. And if they can come home and kind of spout off a whole bunch of different things, that's awesome. You're doing something right at home.
Yeah.
I like to believe that.
Just as long as they're not spouting off on Twitter, because then their dumb high school opinions have to follow them.
Yeah, or the president. Lots of people spout off on Twitter.
They do. Don't let your kids do it because it's not going to work out.
Exactly. I agree.
So, Dr. Matt, I have a question that this is my own personal question. At least one of my kids is really skittish about going back to school this fall. If it's the same way or a similar way to the way it's set up right now, what can I do to reassure her or him what can I do to reassure her that, you know, maybe one of the maybe some of the stuff you're worried about is just you're just worried.
Is she having a good or a negative experience with how school has ended?
She has not enjoyed it.
Not enjoyed it. Well, that's a tough one. I would say a couple of thoughts. One is I would break it down and I would tell her, hey, we've talked a lot about all the negatives of how you feel about how school's gone. What are some of the positives? There's got to be one or two, and I'm sure you can tease out, you know, working at your own pace or something. And then for the things that aren't, positive, then you could talk a little bit about, you know, some potential solutions. A lot of that for kids has to do with the social aspects.
And I think that's part of her concern. She has to go to school and there's six people in a class and each one sitting in a corner and one person in the center. Is that school?
And what I would say to her is I would say, maybe, but right now what you're doing is you're treating a fantasy like reality. So you're projecting and you're treating the what-ifs and the could-bes of the future as if they really are.
Okay.
And so I would challenge her. I would say, you know what, sweetheart, that may happen, but we don't know that right now. Let's focus in on the present. The present is you get an A+ for finishing this weird school year. Let's focus on making this summer a great break from all the stress and the weirdness, and let's go camping and do some fun things. Dad's going to buy you a brand new bike, all that cool stuff. Right,
she wants a car. She's 15.
Oh, car. Okay. And I can't promise that for your dad. But then say when we know how the fall is going to look, I promise that we'll sit down as a family and we'll problem solve things that seem stressful and negative. But teaching children how to be mindful, focused in the present, how can we deal with what we know? Because most people, adults included especially, we will take a worry, calling it a what-if or a maybe, but we treat it in the present as if it's already a reality. And then we're dealing with stress that's, like, not real. And so that's a great lesson to teach kids right now.
Well, you heard it here on KSL News Radio. Andy Farnsworth's going to buy his daughter a car.
I did not say that.
Have a good
I want it on the record. I did not say that.
Watt radio station. I mean, this is, you know.
It doesn't have to be brand new, Andy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
You know, something that's a couple years old.
Actually, that's one of the things she's most upset about is she was going to do driver's ed over the summer because her birthday's in the fall. And they took it away because they can't do it.
Yeah.
A lot of empathy for kids who are struggling with those sorts of interruptions to normalcy and, And sometimes as a parent, all you can do is say, I empathize, sweetheart, and we'll do the best we can.
All right. Dr. Matt Woolley joining us here every week. If you've got questions for Dr. Matt, you can email us, nightside@ksl.com. Matt, we got a great text here from Brandon on the political question. Blood over party. That's what he said. And I like that a lot. Family first.
Hear, hear, Brandon.
Yep. Well done.
You can also catch Dr. Matt Woolley Project Recovery Podcast with Casey Scott on the KSL News Radio app or on kslnewsradio.com. Great stuff on there covering a variety of things. Project Recovery, Dr. Matt Woolley and Casey Scott. We'll be back on the Nightside Project after a check of traffic.
Nightside. Credibility. Also absurd news. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. I've got Andy Farnsworth sitting with me. Well, not literally with me, because I'm at my house.
We are safely socially distanced.
And you're at the KSL
Studios, is what he was trying to say. And now maybe we've just found out that Ethan is definitely away. So here on the Nightside Project, one of the things we wanted to do here before we break towards top of the hour, while we try to get Ethan back live, is tell you a story about what do you do when you're trying to train for the Olympics. Now, granted, the Olympics, the 2020 Tokyo Games have been pushed to 2021. They will still be called the 2020 Tokyo Games, even though they'll take place in 2021. And since the Olympic Games are going to take place, obviously Olympic hopefuls are continuing to train, including Olympic swimmers in Indiana. Now, the problem is, what do you do when all the pools are closed? And that means public pools, places, Olympic-sized pools where they would actually train. But guess what? They don't have that option right now in Indiana. So Olympic athletes in Indiana, including Lily King, and this is according to the Indianapolis Star, she's training in a Bloomington, Indiana pond. No pools, so she's got to go get in the pond. And she's a 100-meter breaststroke world record holder. You were going to know her name here in a month if we hadn't had the pandemic. So her and seven swimmers total, her and six other swimmers, are using a pond in a subdivision as they train for the rescheduled 2020 Olympics. She's actually the silver, Cody Miller was a silver medalist in the breaststroke. Zane Groth and Annie Laser, I probably pronounced some of those wrong. But they can't train at the University of Indiana, which is where they normally train, because the campus is closed. So they're using a pond, which leads me to the question of, if you can't train in an Olympic pool, there's got to be a better option than a subdivision pond, right? I mean, somebody rich in Indianapolis has got to have a mansion that has maybe an Olympic-sized pool for lap swim or something like that. I guess, I mean, 100 meters is I think, four laps up and down the pool or two laps up and down the pool. I'd have to remember, refresh my memory. But you can't train. There's got to be a better place to train than in a pond in a subdivision. That's all I got to say. And if you think about it, if they're training now in Indianapolis, we're in May. Now, they're probably not going to have as cold a weather as Utah often gets. But that water can't be warm. I'm sorry. That water can't be warm. Speaking as somebody who used to quote-unquote train for swimming, and I'm talking now Cub Scouts, I would go up to Camp Tracy up Mill Creek Canyon, and you're talking early to mid-June maybe is when it was our pack's turn or our troop's turn to train or to go up there for day camp for 2 days. And the only thing you could hope for when you would go up to scout camp was that when you got assigned for the swimming skill,
Andy, you
better
you
hope
me?
That's in the afternoon. I can hear you now, Ethan. Nice to have you back.
We did it.
Yay. I was just telling a story about these Olympic swimmers who are training in a subdivision pond in Indianapolis.
I know. Isn't that amazing? How cool would that be to have Olympic swimmers in your
pond?
In your pond. Here's the problem, though.
You have to fish around them.
You know what the residents are saying? The residents, I guarantee, are complaining. Because they're like, oh, yeah, these guys can swim in here. But if I try and get in there in a canoe or something, the HOA is,
the HOA.
Is all on my case.
Of course.
Oh,
the
I can't
HOA.
Get in there, but, you know, Michael Phelps can get in there, but I can't get in there.
Well, so I was just saying, that water can't be warm, Ethan. It is springtime in Indianapolis.
There is no natural body of water that's warm.
That's what I'm saying. And I was just saying about going to Camp Tracy up Mill Creek Canyon. If you got assigned the swimming skill in the morning,
You might set an Olympic record.
Just to get
because
out.
The water was so cold that you would swim at a record pace just to get right back out again. So I guess what we're saying is they probably are going to need some time as they actually get back into regular pools and adjust their now world record times that they set swimming in the Indianapolis subdivision pond.
You don't want warm water in, you know, an open water scenario. If you get in water in a lake or a pond, you don't want it to be warm. You want it to be bracing. You want it to be cold because haven't you read those stories about people that get in that brain worm that gets in there and eats out their brain?
What?
The amoeba?
No.
The amoebas.
What?
Look
no.
It Google it during the break.
No.
Google it during the break.
I will not Google anything related to worm and brain.
Warm standing bodies of water are not anything you want to get close to. So
I would have thought it would be because somebody made the water warm and you don't want to deal with that either.
Well, yes, there's that. Also, grow up, Andy. Come on.
All right.
Come on, man.
1 hour of the Nightside Project tonight in the books. We'll get a check of news and traffic. And when we come back, we'll be back with headlines on the Nightside Project.
KSL-FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City.
Good evening, 7 o'clock at KSL News Radio. I'm Mark Jackson, KSL's top local story. This hour's breaking news that starts the 7 o'clock hour. The family of the girl who was killed this past weekend has now just issued a second statement tonight saying the charge of murder against the man they say killed her is a good first critical step towards bringing justice for Ashlyn Black. The family's attorney, Joshua Egan, says that the family applauds murder charges from the Davis County Attorney's Office against Ethan Hunsaker, who told police he killed Ashlyn after a date arranged on the dating site Tinder. Our top national stories of this hour from ABC News. Maryland is slowly getting ready to allow restaurants to allow people to eat outside. ABC's Phil Yakubowski explains.
Maryland Governor Larry Hogan says he'll now allow outdoor dining, no more than six at a table, and restaurants must be strict about keeping the places clean.
Marylanders have stepped up and risen to meet this unprecedented challenge. We truly are on the road to recovery.
He's also given the go-ahead for youth sports and day camps to resume, no more than 10 people, and community swimming pools at 25% capacity. Phil Yakubowski, ABC News, Annapolis.
And the nation's capital will begin a gradual reopening on Friday, even as Mayor Muriel Bowser warns that it probably will result in more coronavirus infections. Restaurants will be permitted to seat guests outdoors. Barbers and hair salons will open with limited capacity, and non-essential businesses will be allowed to offer curbside or front door pickup services, but nail parlors, gyms, public playgrounds remain closed. Gatherings of more than 10 people will be prohibited. Well, coming up, it looks like back here in the Salt Lake Valley, the heat is back on again. KSL weather is next. KSL News Time 7:02.
Even with school and work upside down right now, we're here.
Markets out of whack? We're here.
We're here for you with important news before 9.
You can always count on us.
KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
Loans by Rick is working hard to be part of the solutions needed right now. So if you're trying to buy a new home or refinance suddenly, your world has turned upside down. Rick from Loans by Rick is here to bring everything back to your personal comfort level. That means buying or refinancing at the most aggressive and intelligent interest rates. And
this is the Nightside Project.
This is a twisted web. We are not finished untangling it.
Nightside on KSL. A limited edition spring season.
It's beautiful out there, Alex. Spring is in the air.
Yeah, so are your respiratory droplets, so stay away from me.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome back to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. I've got Andy Farnsworth here with me. Holding down the fort, Alex Curie is away tonight. So, Andy, you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for stepping in. I know this makes for some long days for you.
It can, but honestly, the weirdest thing is being asleep when I'm normally awake and awake when I'm normally asleep. I feel backwards in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Well, you know, it doesn't show.
Well, good.
You seem like a normal guy on the radio show, even though you're feeling very upside down. But, you know.
Yeah, now that I've got the brain-eating amoeba out of my thoughts.
Doesn't sound like it.
Hey, here's something
like pointed to take.
It's not. I tried, okay? I spent the whole break trying to get it out. I couldn't do it.
Daniel texted in, it sounds like a good time for Animal Kingdom Brain-Eating Amoeba Edition.
That's a tongue twister.
I know.
Here's something to point out. Utah Lake, warm water, Ethan. Stay away from it. Is that what you're saying? Is Ethan Millard saying stay away from Utah Lake?
I'm also saying it's not that warm. But look at what happens on Utah Lake. What do they get? From the runoff from the city.
I thought they used to dump sewage in it, but I guess they don't.
Those big, it's not the sewage, it's the chemicals. They get tons and tons of the algae. Look at those giant algae blooms.
Yeah,
they make people get out. The water, I mean, that lake becomes deadly sometimes. It's killed dogs, made people sick.
That's
true. They have to close it off to swimmers and boaters. So
I've only boated in it once.
It's
and
cool.
It was pretty warm.
Yeah, it's cool. Do you know
I'm not much of an outdoors person, though.
I want to say that it's the largest freshwater natural lake west of the Mississippi. It's one of the largest, if not the largest. Yeah, yeah. It's a cool lake. Anyway. So I got some headlines. You ready for some Nightside headlines?
Let's do it.
All right. The Disney CEO has been conducting interviews related to the reopening of Disney World in Florida. And this is what he had to say about what the park's going to look like under the new health guidelines. And this is his quote. Well, the first thing that's going to look different is that our cast and guests will both have masks on. That's obviously something we're not accustomed to in the parks. But you'll also see copious amounts of tape at 6-foot distances and essentially throughout the park so people will know what 6 feet actually looks like. And we're going to help our guests help us maintain that social distancing. I love how he phrased that. We're going to help our guests help us maintain that social distancing.
Help me help you.
Help me help you. That's words that you use with your teenager, isn't it? Archaeologists.
Well, heaven
knows
that Disney World has enough space to, you know, where they've hidden all the lines, you know, the great illusion of the Disney parks. They have enough space to keep people 6 feet apart and still have 1,000 people in line.
Yeah. They've got a lot of flexibility. You're right about that. I still think that this might be the best time to go to Disneyland when they're only letting in, you know, a third of the park. Or a third of the capacity.
I wonder if they'll discourage park hopping, especially at Disney World, where they're so far apart anyway, you take a shuttle to get from one park to the other.
I don't know. I have no idea. These
Never been to Disney
questions.
World. Love to.
These are all great questions for someone, but they're terrible questions for me.
Okay.
I want to point that. And that's not criticism. All right. Archaeologists in Mexico have found the skeletal remains of dozens of huge mammoths at a construction site. This is right outside of Mexico City. They've unearthed the bones of about 60 mammoths at a site in Zumpango where the international airport is being built. The area was once part of Lake Zaltocan, and scientists believe the animals probably died when they got stuck in the lake. And were you aware of this? I read this once. Mexico City was actually like on a lake. It was surrounded by water. It was like Venice to some degree.
Mexico City itself was on a lake?
Yeah, Mexico City. And it was drained by the conquistadors.
How big of a lake? Lake Bonneville size?
I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I'm just saying.
Salt Lake City used to be underwater thousands of years ago.
Yeah, Lake Bonneville, yeah. It's a great point.
I was just saying.
How
do you drain a lake? Just dig a river out of it?
Yeah, I guess.
They couldn't have used like some medieval conquistador pumps or something like that.
Maybe that's what they used the mammoths for.
They got stuck in it.
And get a few Tyrannosaurus Rexes in there.
Is that a big find because they hadn't found mammoths that far south before? Is that what it is?
No. It's just an interesting find. There are mammoths everywhere. You can find mammoths all over the place. I don't know that there's like a specifically defined area. So they find a lot of mammoths in
you can find mammoths all over the place.
They find a lot of mammoths in Siberia because they're preserved in the permafrost. So you can actually find flesh. They've done DNA analysis because you find preserved bodies of mammoths with hair and everything like that.
Right.
This down in Mexico City, they're all just bones. So.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, it's not like it froze in Mexico City.
Well, and it makes sense also because the mammoths are dead.
I hope they're dead in the ice, too.
Discount retailer.
They're just waiting for somebody to thaw them out. I've seen a lot of movies where that happens, but I don't think that happens in real life.
Hey, you know what? I think it's an open question. Because we don't know what's, and not in terms of the mammoths, but we don't know what's frozen up there in those the permafrost. It could release spores of some crazy bacteria.
I mean, Godzilla King of the Monsters, and there is a three-headed Hydra type thing in some of the ice, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, almost certainly. next headline, discount retailer Tuesday Morning has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection and is looking to shut down more than 200 of its 700 stores. They want to shut at least 132 stores, but really they'd like to do more than that. But this is another victim of just the problems around the coronavirus. A lot of retailers having to filed for bankruptcy just to cut loose some of the bulk and some of the baggage. So if you are a Tuesday Morning fan, I don't think any...
I don't know what Tuesday Morning is. Do we have any here in Utah?
It's a store. Yeah, we do. There's one in Bountiful. And in fact, I think
Bountiful's on the... What is their specialty?
I think Bountiful's on the list.
So the one that's here is going to close?
Yeah. There are a couple up in Idaho. We don't have very many out here. There are a lot in the Midwest and the East Coast and in California, but... then finally,
you know, that actually brings up an interesting question.
What's that?
Once this is all done and businesses have either had to close their doors because they didn't make enough money or they had to close because of the pandemic, retail space is still going to exist. I mean, you may have to close a business, but the retail space that you occupied is still there.
Yeah.
Tuesday Morning is going to close. But something's got to fill up that spot.
Not necessarily.
Right?
And I mean, well, yeah, in a perfect world, sure. But it's entirely possible. And this is kind of part of the ongoing economic debate is what else is going to happen. So Tuesday Morning shuts
Tuesday
down.
Morning has
they
to close
stop
down.
Paying. They stop paying rent, right? In a strip mall, let's say.
Right.
Well, who does that strip mall owe money to? Who's not getting paid on down the line? Is there a bank that's not getting paid? Is there debt on that strip mall that's going to close?
But that's
it down?
What I'm saying is like the retail space exists. It whether people are paying for it or not, it's like the empty seats on a cruise ship. That cruise ship is sailing, and either somebody's in those spots and has paid for it, or they're not.
Yeah,
retail space is there. It's not going anywhere.
Well, yeah.
Is there no way
to
give some of these places a break so they can continue to try? Or are there people? I mean, I guess on prime retail locations, maybe there's other businesses chomping at the bit to snatch that location. But
I agree with you on that point. But I think it's clear. I mean, just look at downtown Salt Lake. I grew up in downtown. I went to West High School. And I will tell you right now, there is no shortage of people who are willing to buy up businesses or buy up property and let it sit and let it sit
just
vacant,
let it appreciate
and
in value.
Let it wait and let it just sit appreciate in value or something else that was common to Salt Lake is someone would buy a historic building and want to tear it down. The city would say no, so they would just let it rot until it was just too unsafe and it would force the city's hand. It's also very common. So I see what you're saying, but I mean, there's no guarantee that anything's going to go back in that space anytime soon. It's just going to depend on a lot of things. But I do think that when you look at all the people that have lost money and all the investment portfolios that have lost money, I don't think it's unreasonable to tell the landlords, you know what? You guys are losing money too. Sorry, these people aren't paying your rent. I mean, if we're going to say, sorry, your investment portfolio lost 30% in the downturn, why would we stand by while a property owner insisted on turning a profit no matter what the cost? And I think some
but
of them
how
have
do you
just
turn a profit
realize,
by foreclosing.
I think some of them have just got to realize, you know what? Some of your tenants aren't going to pay rent, and you just in some circumstances you need to accept that and move forward, because foreclosing on them isn't going to help anybody. And but I mean, that would require a major change of perspective, but I think some are. I think some businesses have alerted their landlords, hey, you're not getting paid, and the landlords have been able to realize, hey, you know what, I'm just going to eat this.
Texture says, what about the old Kmart buildings that are just sitting there?
Yeah, that's a great example.
That's a great question. There's not one in Murray,
Kearns, just off Bangor in 5400 South. It's been there forever.
A lot of people are shorting commercial real estate just generally because they feel like they're not going to be back up to capacity, that the lost rent is not going to be recovered anytime soon, and that's going to be an ongoing problem. But overall, I agree with you conceptually that I think it's smart for some of these property owners just to live with not collecting rent for a couple of months but still having a tenant.
Well, okay, a couple of textures before we go to break here, Ethan. A couple of textures have chimed in on our headlines. One is, I've seen mammoths in the buffet line. That's from Dave. He said they're everywhere. And then here's one. And again, I don't know how true this is. This is according to one of our textures. The city of Tenochtitlan, which became Mexico City, was built by the Aztecs atop a lake both for defense and to fulfill a prophecy for them to search for an eagle fighting a snake, which they found on a cactus on a tiny island in the lake, which is why that symbol is the symbol of Mexico on their flag.
There you go.
So there you go. All right. Well, let's take a break here. And when we get back, we're going to talk vacation. Vacation, that's always a good thing to think about as we get ready for summer, right? We'll get some Vacation Club news when we return on the Nightside Project, KSL News Radio.
Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. This is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. I got Andy Farnsworth here. Just kind of rolling through. I got a text message related to our previous conversation.
Okay.
It says, you make no sense whatsoever. Normally, I agree with you, but your statements come from someone who owns no property and has no property for rent. It might come as a surprise to you that some of us older folks count on that rent monthly for our living. And I totally get that because that's actually the sphere that I work in. But all of us are going to rely on our investments for day-to-day income at some point, whether it be in retirement or whether it be earlier than that. And what I don't agree with is I don't agree with the expectation that property owners be made whole on their investments, that they have some particular claim to a return or income from their investments that the rest of us don't have, and that we should give it to them regardless of other considerations and circumstances. That's what I don't agree with. We all roll the dice on our investments, and sometimes we lose money. And I think it's counterproductive to shut down businesses, foreclose on otherwise potentially profitable businesses because they can't make rent for a certain period.
Well, and my point was just this, is that unless there's a bunch of people clamoring to take over that space, based on the circumstances that put these people in arrears in their payments, not that they shouldn't have to pay it. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, like, does foreclosing and kicking them out because of all these circumstances that were completely beyond their control, unless there's somebody willing to swoop in who does have the money to pay for it constantly, mm-hmm. That was my question, is there no flexibility in these, unprecedented times besides just, hey, we got to vacate the retail spaces. That was my question. I totally agree with the texter who says, you know, we count on these things. They paid the upfront in order to secure that space that the renters are paying to them. I get all of that.
But that's not any different from any other investment. It's not. And there's this kind of alternate standard that we allow to kind of exist where, you know, if you've got an investment, let's say you've got an IRA, Andy, and you've got an invested earning interest and you spend it every day to pay your own bills and things like that in retirement. If you lose money in the market downturn, we say, well, you know what? You had an investment, you were taking that risk, and then turn around and say, hey, give me my money. This is an investment in this property. So there's this insistence that their property be a risk-free investment. And I don't think that we should bend over backwards to make sure it's risk-free. Now, that certainly real estate is less risky than many other types of investments. It can give you great, secure, and regular income. But I disagree with what I see so often in property, in income-generating property, and that is, hey, if you can't pay this money, I'm kicking you out. And, you know, in times like these, in circumstances like these, where we have otherwise profitable companies being put through very significant financial troubles, you end up throwing the baby out of the out with the bathwater. And that's what I think. I think long term, it won't be smart because you create a cascade of events because, you know, you start kicking people out or and it's not even because you're foreclosing on people. It's not even because you're kicking people out of your off of your property. Even just the inability to have the rent paid. Someone always owes someone else. Right. I mean, every mall's got creditors. They're not going to get paid in full. Well, where's that money coming from? Because they're not going to get paid in full. And it's not hard to start a domino effect. And that's what we'll probably see later on in this year.
We got another text. Says, I do know that some retail landlords are working with their tenants to keep them in place, to get some rent rather than none from a vacant space. And that was kind of what I was saying was like, I guess it would just depend on each individual situation. But in general, I thought, you know, because I can't, with the way overall business is, I can't imagine there's that many people who are chomping to move into a retail space right now when that's been the big challenge. The online retailers have been cleaning up, but, you know, because people couldn't go to a retail space.
Yeah, I think we'll have fewer retail business. I think it'll be a while before we come back up to where we were at the beginning of this year in terms of occupied retail space.
All right, Ethan. We talked a little bit about last segment. So we need some vacation club.
The places you want to go and how to get there. It's the Nightside Vacation Club. Get a free night stay, but you have to stay for the whole presentation.
Oh, I don't miss those. I'll tell you that much. Now, you mentioned in our last segment that Disney World in Florida has now got a plan for reopening. July 11th. Yes.
They're right around the corner.
They've got
amazing,
and they've got ideas in place for what it's going to take and how they're going to be able to try to keep the park patrons safe.
Yeah, and you know, there's an open question because they're asking every staff member and every guest of the park needs to wear a mask while they're in the park. Okay.
Do you really want to wear a mask in the Florida humidity?
They said, well, that's it. So Disney World says they're going to enforce that rule, but Florida is just a terrible place to be outside. It's terrible. You know, you're being baked by the sun, drowned in the humidity, and eaten by carnivorous predators.
Gators.
Like gators. It's a terrible place to be outdoors. Nevertheless, you got to do it. And Disney World says, in fact, the CEO of Disney said, quote, so far our experience has been that the guests have been very cooperative when it comes to wearing the masks. Now, that he was talking about Shanghai.
How can they say that? They haven't even opened. Oh, Shanghai. Okay.
Yep.
But they're used to wearing masks all the time because of their air quality.
And at Disney Springs, because Disney Springs has been open, which I guess is like a shopping area. Some kind of a little side project for Disney down there. After only a short week at Disney Springs, they say that guests are willing to wear the masks because they know that it's how we make it work, which I think is the right attitude. Look, the masks are how we make it work.
Now, we've had no word yet on Disneyland Anaheim. That's the one that's most near and dear to Utahns because it's the closest. But we do have some news for a Southern California theme park, SeaWorld, opening June 10th.
I've never been to SeaWorld.
Oh, wait, maybe SeaWorld's also Orlando. Now that I look, it's all Florida. Never mind. California, they're going to be closed for who knows how long.
I've never been to either SeaWorld.
I've been to SeaWorld in San Diego.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool.
I've never been.
It's pretty cool. But I don't know. I would probably feel more comfortable going to SeaWorld than I would maybe to Disneyland at first.
I think this is the best time to go to these amusement parks. If they're making everyone more mass, and if they've got everyone, because Disney is afraid that someone's going to get sick at their park. So
that's what this is all about.
They're desperate to get the parks open, but they're really afraid of someone getting sick. So they are just going to be sanitizing everything, and they're only going to let in a fraction of the number of people they normally do. This is the golden age of theme parks, Andy.
if you can get the reservation, this is the time to go. Although, as this texture points out, Disney World is spread out where Disneyland is crunched into a square mile. And this texture says, Florida is awesome, Ethan. Shame on you.
I've been to Florida before, and it was cool. I'll tell you that. It was cool. I swam in the Gulf of Mexico. It was beautiful. But, you know, I don't know. I got Disneyland right here in California. Probably just going to keep going.
If they ever open up again.
They will.
All right, let's take a break here. Bottom of the hour for news. You're listening to the Nightside Project Special Spring Edition on KSL News Radio.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
You know what you are?
What?
You're difficult. Really difficult.
You.
You're a difficult man.
Nightside on KSL, a limited edition spring season.
This is why I could never be a teacher. This is hard stuff.
Yeah, that and you barely graduated college.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with I almost said Alex Carey.
That's okay.
Andy Farnsworth, not Alex Carey. It's nice, though, that they both start with an A so that I can at least kind of get the ball rolling.
You can catch yourself before you get too far into the word and recover without anybody knowing.
Well, and same number of syllables, right? Hold on.
Alex Carey.
Andy Farnsworth. Alex Carey. Andy Farnsworth. Yeah, four. There you go.
That didn't sound so good. You know,
you're clapping.
Alex Carey.
Yeah. No, this is all working out very well. So both start with A, both have four syllables. This has been very simple for me. All right. A lot of stuff has been postponed because of the coronavirus. What will undoubtedly be the movie of the year and probably the most award-winning movie of the year.
Are we talking Top Gun 2?
The new Top Gun movie, which I expected to sweep the Oscars. I expect to sweep the Oscars, and I expect it to be the number one movie of the year. And
best actor for Tom Cruise. Best supporting actor, Val Kilmer's Ghost.
Tom Cruise, America's greatest living actor. And
you heard that his space movie just got its director.
Yeah, he's going to shoot a movie in space. You know
shooting
why?
Shooting an actual, because he's Tom Cruise.
Yeah, man, he's the greatest living actor. So, but here's the deal. A lot of stuff has been postponed, not just movies, not just films, but also albums.
Right.
Lots of albums kind of sitting waiting. Some artists have been able to record, and because the digital world has given artists so much flexibility in terms of how to ply their trade. So there actually has been quite a bit of output in some places, but others have just been held back by the coronavirus.
Right.
So,
but entertainment, you know, movies have been put on hold, like you mentioned. I am curious as to what albums can come out. I know that just this last weekend they released Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande released their dance floor duet Rain on Me.
Yeah.
You know, you drop something around Memorial Day and then you hope that that song becomes the hit of the summer, right? The one that everybody listens to at their parties. It's the one that they request on the radio if they still do that. It's the most downloaded on iTunes. I think I'm getting closer there. The most played on Spotify. Yeah, now I think I'm in the right century. But what's going to be the big song of summer? And here's the real question about the summer of 2020, Ethan, is this is the weirdest summer in the longest time. Would you have a traditional summer song? Would that work with this, with now?
Well, I think maybe...
You know, I think of like Summertime, the song by Will Smith back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah. That was a great one.
It was a great one. You know,
everyone
you got
loves Will Smith.
Summer in the City from the 60s. You got, you know, there's these great songs that are about summer that play during the summer that make you think of, you know, the barbecues and the fireworks shows and all that stuff. But we're not going to have those in the same way.
But hold on a second, though, because here's my question. My question is... Are these summer songs, the official song of the summer, are they as popular as we make them out to be? Because they always get lots of attention in the media. Oh, it's the song of the summer.
Yes. I 100% believe.
Well, let's talk
through that it's some of it's a creation of, I don't know if it's the music media or whatever. But all right, here are some classics over the last 20 years. We're now 20 years into the new millennium. And we've had 20 summer songs so far. This would be the 21st. I know that's weird for some people to think about. The 21st. Here are some of the classic summer songs, according to the media, of the last 20 years. This one from 2012. I feel like Casey Kasem. This is a summer song to me.
Sure. Janet Jackson?
It's not Janet Jackson. Call Me
sure?
Maybe. I don't remember who this
Call Me Maybe.
Aye. My kids are so much better at this than I am. Carly Rae Jepsen. Look, if it's a movie, I know all the actors, the director. If it's singers, I'm in a much worse place.
This is what I'm saying is I wonder, hey, are these really as popular as we kind of insist they be? Because we're always looking for the unifying themes, right?
Right.
We're always looking for the big song, the big movie, the one that everyone got into.
You know, I think of what makes the definitive summer song? Do you think it's because it was the hit song from a hit movie? I remember when Hero, again, I'm jumping way back in time, but the song Hero by Josie Scott from the Spider-Man movie, it was on everything. From the moment that movie hit in May all the way through the summer, everybody was listening to Hero.
I actually don't.
You don't remember that song?
No, I don't.
Dear goodness, Ethan.
Are you mean I need a hero?
No.
I need a hero. Because that's
I do not mean that at all. Okay, now I've got to find it myself. Goodness.
What's another one? I know you've got
Chad
a couple
Kroger
of songs.
Chad Kroger and Josie Scott. Anyway. Okay, so here's another one. And again, this one's from 2009. Oops, sorry. I got to get better at this. There we go.
You're doing great.
I got a feeling.
Yep, Black Eyed Peas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Black Eyed Peas are great. I like Black Eyed Peas.
Will I Am.
Sure.
And the girl. I forget her name.
Janet Jackson.
Yes, Janet Jackson.
Oh. I never saw Spider-Man.
All right, here's another one. This is 2008. It's another female artist that you should recognize.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she's been doing The Voice.
Yes. Come on, Ethan.
If you
we are really
tried,
showing our age
me,
here, by the way.
If you hadn't asked me, I could have gotten it.
Starts with a K.
She's pregnant. Isn't she pregnant? She's having a baby.
I believe
so.
I
keep up with things.
Okay, but you just couldn't tell you who she is. Katy Perry. Very good. Very good.
Thank you.
Now, I've got to play. All right, that's not the right thing. I'm going to find that song, Hero, because now I feel like it's an actual quest now for you to hear this.
It's a quest for me to hear.
It's a quest from Spider-Man. I wanted to tie things into movies.
I haven't seen any of the Spider-Man movies.
You couldn't turn on the radio. And I did Traffic on a Music Station in 2002. This song was on all the time. But it's Chad Kroeger from Nickelback, so.
Yeah, I know this song. I didn't realize, though, that it was from Spider-Man.
Yeah. To me, that's the kind of song. To me, the song of the summer is something that everybody listens to. And maybe that's changed over time.
See, I feel like
here's another
part of me,
one.
And I don't mean to be cynical, but part of me wants to say it's the song of the summer is not the summer song that everyone listens to. It's the song that everyone says that everyone listens to.
Well, and there's so many different ways to listen to music. I mean, it is a truly fractured way. I'm not sure quite how they measure all the things. Is it measured by downloads? Is it measured by Spotify
listens?
But that's
one of the great – that fracturing is one of the great things. We can all listen to whatever we want now. We're not just stuck to,
that's
you know,
true.
Four or five stations. And that's so cool about how things work now. But I do feel like what we do is we all get together and we just say, okay, if anyone asks, we all listen to this song, right? If anyone asks, we all tell them we listen to this one.
I think
it seems more like an agreement than a real enthusiasm.
I think, honestly, and this is just my opinion, the song of the summer should be decided by kids ages about 16 to 19.
Now, why would I ever agree to that?
Because that's the thing. The summer is for them, man. It's when you're coming of age. It's all of that stuff. That's who should decide what the song of the summer is, because they're the ones who are going to remember it the most clearly.
You know who gets to decide the song of the summer, Andy?
Who?
And I can't believe that you don't feel this. The guy that's paying the mortgage, he gets
no,
to decide.
No. That's not decide. Who I'm decides not the song of the summer. It's the teenagers who decide the song of the summer. It's the ones who – this is the summer they're going to remember, and this was the song that was the soundtrack for it. I remember summer 91. I know, forever ago, there were two songs that summer. There was Guns N' Roses' You Could Be Mine from Terminator 2,
mm-hmm.
and there was Bryan Adams' Everything I Do from Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Yep.
An American.
Those were the songs
Britain,
of the summer American of 91. And I don't care what any other thing says, that was the songs of the summer of 91. But everything is different. You know, like let's say that maybe it was the summer that you were more into hip hop and that becomes the song of the summer. But I think the teenagers should decide what is the song of the summer because they're the ones who it's going to be memorable for. They're the ones who it's going to be memorable for.
You know what the song of the summer is for teenagers?
What?
It's a Fortnite song. It's one of the songs on Fortnite.
Well, maybe that's the truth now, but that's not how it's always been. Teenagers get to choose the song of the summer.
Now, you know what?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Alex. See what happens when I get frustrated? I fall back. Andy.
What?
There can't be a middle-aged summertime anthem.
Sure, there can, but that's not what you're going to remember. That's not going to be the defining song of the summer of 2020. It's not going to be what Ethan Millard thinks.
I'm sorry.
Paying his mortgage.
I'm sorry. Why can't the defining song of the summer be decided by the guys who are paying the taxes and buying the albums for our kids?
Here's a texture that says DJs should decide the songs of the summer.
I'm glad we're shut out of that equation completely. No, it's fine. It's fine. We'll just keep writing checks for it.
All right, we need your text, 57500. What did you learn tonight? Join us for our final segment of Nightside Project Special Limited Edition Spring, 57500. What did you learn? And come back for Ethan's Zen Headlines.
Oh, yeah.
Nightside. We're all friends here. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. This is our final segment on the Nightside Project. Send us your text. What did you learn tonight on the Nightside Project? And I got a text I want to hit here at 57500. And it was Brandon. I wanted to text this because he had my back on this. Mm-hmm. Mortgage payers get to determine song of the summer.
No,
I think that's only fair.
Mortgage payers.
The guys who are buying
the mortgage
the
payers get to decide everything else. At least let the teens have one thing.
Yeah, a roof over their heads.
You want an allowance? How about this? I'll allow you to work here, to live
There's
here.
Food on the
I'll
table.
Allow you to eat my food.
And they should be happy. All right. This has gotten ridiculous. All right, 57500 is the text. What did you learn tonight? And look at this. Here's a text. It's apropos to our current conversation. This text simply says, I learned you guys are old.
Yeah, what gave it away?
Guilty.
Our inability to name singers from the last 5 years.
Hey, Janet Jackson is still alive.
Did they have music after Janet Jackson? I remember her from back in the day.
Yeah.
I learned no rich people pools in Indiana, just ponds.
Mm-hmm.
In between now and then, they can't love Colin Ray this weekend in Tooele. And you can swallow your gum now because they lied to us.
Yes.
Also, I noticed that there was a texter who wants to defend Nickelback.
Mm.
And they said, Daniel says that Nickelback's the greatest living band. And to be quite honest, I know a famous person that agrees.
Movies. We are Marvel.
Yeah, but you know, you're Marvel licensed by Fox.
It's like if the Beatles were produced by Nickelback. It's music, but it sucks.
Hey, that's it. I'm done. I've had it with all this Nickelback hating, right? You think that makes you cool with the cool kids in school, Fred?
No, it just makes me right.
It doesn't.
They're overproduced, formulaic, ear garbage.
Oh, really? You know who might disagree with that? Facts. 50 million albums worldwide. 11th best-selling musical act of all time. Billboard's most successful rock group of the last decade. 6 Grammy nominations, 12 Juno Awards. Those count. 6 Billboard Music Awards, 2 American Music Awards, 1 People's Choice Award, Canadian, and a partridge in a...
Andy, get off their back, all right?
Nickelback is great. I love Nickelback. That's what I'm saying. Deadpool agrees.
Oh, all right. I didn't realize that was Deadpool.
Yeah.
Why did you play a clip of Deadpool?
Because he loved Nickelback, and I thought that was funny.
All right. I've got a great Zen headline.
Daniel Beard says they're our greatest living band, and I just wanted to show that Deadpool agreed.
Well, good. I think that's wonderful. This Zen headline was shared with me on Twitter using the hashtag Zen headline. So if you've got a Zen headline that you want to share, use the hashtag.
Yeah. If they didn't think you were old before when you said hashtown instead of hashtag.
Use the hashtag Zen headlines on social media. We'll grab it. We'll use it. We'll credit you. This is from Roger. Roger, thanks for sharing this. This is awesome. This is an article that was actually posted to KSL. This is out of Eagle Mountain. Utah County team Gade Deming celebrated being declared cancer-free with a little help from the Utah Highway Patrol. Deming, 17, he's 17 years old, could barely sleep thinking about what was going to happen Tuesday morning. Just after 7:30 a.m., he got the knock on his Eagle Mountain door. Utah Highway Patrol was there to take him out to a training range in Utah County where they took out all of his extra chemotherapy medicine and they packed some explosives around it.
Oh, I like this.
And they detonated it.
That is awesome.
They also let him fire a sniper rifle at targets 100, 200, and 600 meters away, which is a lot of fun for him to
Hopefully written with the word cancer on it.
And then they gave him a challenge coin, which is really cool. If you've ever had the chance to give or receive a challenge coin, they're very meaningful in the moment and always appreciate it. So isn't that cool? He also got a ride from a helicopter.
That checks all of my boxes as an airborne traffic guy that he got to ride in a helicopter,
mm-hmm.
that it was with the Highway Patrol, who does great work out there every day. I watch the, you know, the efforts they put in on the highways, and, you know, it's always special to me to hear people beating cancer. My wife beat cancer about 10 years ago, right after our son was born, and so I just think that is awesome. That is a great Zen headline.
Yeah, it's really cool. So congratulations to this kid, and a lot of great and awesome years. And thanks to the Utah Highway Patrol. Great, great outfit, great men and women in that operation. We've, on the Nightside Project, we've had the chance to collaborate with the Highway Patrol on a couple of occasions. In fact, I don't know if you remember this or even aware that we did it. A lot of people at KSL weren't even aware that this is what we were up to, but we actually did an entire show with Alex riding shotgun in a Highway Patrol vehicle.
Really?
Yeah, and he did it remote, and we did a regular show, and then he just talked through stuff that they were doing. They were out searching for, you know, drugs on I-80, and, you know, they ended up helping a family that was stranded on the side of the road, and they ended up pulling over and helping them out. But, yeah. It was a heck of a night, and it was cool. It was fun for us because we had a chance to kind of highlight the work that the Highway Patrol was doing out there and the real dangers that they face. So
I have a couple friends who are Highway Patrolmen, and one of them got hit while he was on a stop. He was okay, but I mean that's a real. Every time they get out of their car, that's something that they face.
I'm surprised every time I see them on the side of the road, and sometimes they're just inches from traffic and. Ugh. It's impressive.
Nerves of steel, to be
honest. Yeah, it's impressive. And I'm actually, especially in the wintertime, I'm surprised they're still willing to do that. You know, pull people over, get on the side of the road and do that. Because, I mean, it is. Well, you know this, Andy, because it's something that you report on. Utah Highway Patrol troopers get hit by cars every winter.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of times it's not even by people who are driving recklessly necessarily.
Nope.
They decide, oh, there's somebody there. I slow down and then they just lose control. Honestly, that's a good chance for me to remind now that it's summer, you still want to keep an eye on your tires because you can still lose control in the summer as well as the winter. But tires makes the biggest difference on your likelihood of losing control.
Really?
It really does. Speed, of course, is a factor. And if you're going too fast, doesn't matter how good your tires are. But especially in the winter and after a rainstorm in the summer, it seems like the oils that get soaked up in the road come back up. But it's your tires that make all the difference.
That makes sense. Well, keep your eyes peeled for the Highway Patrol because they're out there doing their thing. So
yeah.
We can all help keep them safe. And they really came through for Gabe and his family. If you go to KSL, there's a...
Hats off to the Highway Patrol.
There's a cool photo of Gabe and his family standing behind a protective glass, and behind him is this huge explosion, and they're giving a thumbs up to the camera. It's a really cool photo.
Anytime you get to blow something up is a bonus.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, isn't that every kid's dream?
Oh,
to blow something up for real?
Oh, yeah. That was one of the things that I loved most about... Remember that show, Mythbusters?
Yes.
I loved how often they blew things up. I thought that was great. They're like, well, let's blow it up. The experiment didn't work. Let's detonate it. Okay, good. It just seemed to make a lot of sense to me.
Well, Ethan, thanks for giving me another shot at co-hosting Nightside along with you.
Well, Andy,
appreciate
thanks for doing
it.
This. Have a good
night. Am I good
night,
to come back
and,
tomorrow?
You know, I'll most likely kill you in the morning.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.